Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of Locked On Clippers. I'm your host, Lucas Han. Today is Tuesday, January 24th. It's our second episode of the week. We are here Monday through Friday talking Clippers. So obviously, the good news, Clippers won last night in Atlanta. Better news is that Blake Griffin is playing tonight in the Clippers game in Philadelphia, which will finish like kind of like a three-game road trip. Technically, it's a five-game road trip because they don't have another home game, but they have 3 days off after tonight's game in Philadelphia. They'll probably go home to Los Angeles and practice in Playa Vista before heading up for Saturday's game against the Golden State Warriors in Northern California. But for now, everything seems to be good. You know, this, as a night, went about as well as it could have gone for the Clippers last night. That is, they were able to win against Atlanta, and it wasn't an easy one. You know, Atlanta's a good team, and even though they didn't give a lot of fight in the first half, the Clippers did have to win the game down the stretch, which is something that they've struggled. But aside from that, Houston lost to Milwaukee last night. And the Clippers, you know, the Clippers only play Philadelphia, and then their week is pretty much over. Houston has to play in Boston on Wednesday. So now Houston's only two games ahead of the Clippers, and potentially, you know, Boston, that's definitely a game that Houston could lose, especially with how tired they've been lately. So it could be down to one game. Part of the struggle for the Clippers is that they have to play the Warriors twice in the next couple of weeks, which is probably two losses. And the Clippers have a game of their own at Boston, a game of their own at Toronto, at Utah, at Charlotte. You know, not easy games ahead for the Clippers either. But all the Clippers can do is try to win those games and hope that Houston has games on their schedule that they can lose. And it's going to get a lot better with Blake Griffin back, because the Clippers, as currently put together without Blake Griffin, without Chris Paul, you know, like I've said before, there's not a great team. There's just not a lot of talent on the roster. Austin Rivers has played excellently. Obviously, J.J. Redick is good. DeAndre Jordan's great. Raymond Felton is a solid guard. Mbah Mute is a solid wing defender. But you don't have the same star power. This Clippers roster, without Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, probably doesn't win 20 games. So a win against Atlanta is actually a very good upset win for this group. So it's definitely good for the team that they were able to get this one. Just quickly, you know, the player of the game, obviously, I think, is Austin Rivers. He had 27 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. He made 5 threes. He was just, he had a tremendous game. He played 41 minutes playing backup point guard, but also starring on the wing in the starting unit. But then one big difference for the Clippers from their last couple losses to tonight is they just hit shots. 14 of 24 from deep is a very good performance. It's not even like, it's unsustainably good. You're not going to shoot 58% from deep most nights, every night, throughout a season. It's never going to happen. The Clippers, I think, are around 36% from deep. So 58% is amazing. It's way better than You know, that game against Denver, they shot like 31% and lost, and it was kind of a bad night. 58% is amazing. J.J. Redick, 3 of 4. And Mbamute made his only attempt. Mo Spates made his only attempt. Crawford, 1 of 2. Johnson, 1 of 2. Felton, 2 of 4. And speaking of Jamal Crawford finally got it going tonight. And it feels like it has been a month, 3 weeks at least, since Jamal has really had a game where he got going. But he came through, you know, he had that pep in his step throughout the game that we've seen from him at other stretches during this slump, but he's never been able to turn it into production. And that looked like the night it was going to be. He was 5 of 14 from the field. I think he had 11 points at the time, 5 of 14 from the field for 11 points. And it's just starting to feel like, yeah, he made a couple of nice plays, but the overall product is still bad. And then down the stretch, with the Clippers needing buckets to protect their lead, Jamal Crawford came through 4 possessions in a row. 8 points, 4 field goals, lifting the team through the last 3 minutes of the game, fending off Atlanta. Clippers, he ends up 9 of 20 from the field, 45%. That's a good game. 19 points. Clippers win the game by 10, and they don't do it without a guy like Jamal Crawford, who's able to create offense and get buckets in those last few minutes. Now, I'm going to have to see more from Jamal. Not better than tonight, but I'm going to have to see more games like tonight before I'm convinced that he's back. But another good game in Philly tomorrow night would help, and then see if he can really give you a spark against the Warriors on Saturday. That would be really nice. So I fielded questions on Twitter, but I actually only asked a few minutes ago. So I didn't get a ton of responses. But one thing, Dylan DePreto asks, who starts tomorrow, Austin with the hot shooting hand or Luke for his defense? I think they both start. I think Raymond Felton is the guy who moves to the bench. I think even though Austin Rivers isn't as much of a pure point guard as Felton is, with Blake Griffin back in the lineup, you have a little bit more of a distributor on the floor. You know, with Blake Griffin out of the lineup, the Clippers don't, their shooting guard, J.J. Redick, isn't a distributor, and they don't have any forwards or centers who are distributors. So they almost need to play a three-guard lineup just to keep the ball moving, because Rivers, Crawford, Felton, none of those guys are running an entire offense for 48 minutes, you know, setting up everyone's shot every single possession, like Chris Paul can. If you play one of those guys with Blake Griffin, it covers up for a lot of Austin's deficiencies because you're running the offense through Blake. And so I actually expect that the Clippers tomorrow will go with Austin, JJ, Luke, Blake, and DeAndre in the starting lineup. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to seeing that unit out on the floor. And Jesse Beer asks a couple questions. He asks, did Jamal help his trade value with his performance tonight? Well, I'm not sure how much of an impact this game really has on his trade value. I don't think that any one game ever really changes a player's trade value. But if there was going to be one game, it would be this one, because teams might have been looking and worried that Jamal Crawford was done, that he was toast. And one game doesn't totally reverse that trend. Like I said earlier, I personally, even just from the Clippers' perspective, want to see him keep this hot streak going, you know, keep this resurgence alive for more than just one good game before I trust it. But for a team that maybe was really worried a prospective trade partner for the Clippers might have thought Jamal Crawford isn't an NBA-caliber player anymore. Well, tonight, he came through big. And if he can keep doing that for, you know, the next couple of weeks, then I think that will really build his trade value. If we start seeing the Jamal Crawford that we saw last year, who wasn't super efficient, but was able to really boost the Clippers' offense when they were shorthanded, when Blake Griffin was out. I think if they can do that, I think if Jamal can do that, and over the next couple of weeks with Chris out, really boost the offense, then he starts to build up that trade value a little bit, because he's never been an efficient player, and no one thinks that Jamal is going to be an efficient player when they get him, but he creates. He gets buckets reliably, and I don't mean like gets buckets like, yay, he scores a lot of points. I mean, a lot of guys, you put them out on the floor, like J.J. Redick is a perfect example. It's the perfect contrast, Crawford versus Redick, because Redick, when Redick gets an open shot, he is a lot more efficient than Jamal Crawford is. But if you had to kick the ball out to someone with 5 seconds left on the shot clock to create a look for themselves off the dribble, you'd take Jamal Crawford. Redick might be able to do it sometimes, but against a lot of defenders, he's going to be snuffed. Jamal Crawford, no matter who he's going up against, it seems like, is going to get off that same 40% 18-foot jump shot. And a 40% 18-foot jump shot is not a great play, but it's better than a lot of guys do when you throw them the ball with 7 seconds left on the shot clock. And Jamal's going to be able to get that for you every single time, which is, that's where the value is, really. When you're shorthanded, when you're playing a bunch of third-string guys and D-League guys in your second unit, Jamal Crawford can come in with those guys and just get, you know, 0.8, 0.85 points per possession every time he touches the ball by getting those mid-range jumpers off. And then, when he gets hot, he can carry your entire team through a quarter or through a six-minute stretch. You can build a 20-6 run on the back of Jamal Crawford scoring 12 or 14 points in 4 minutes. There's not a, you know, there are players in the NBA that can do that, but that's special when you can consistently over the course of a 16-year career. It's not like he's some guy who did it once, but consistently over the course of a 16-year career, spark runs like that. That's where his value is. And if he can prove beyond one game, let's say if Jamal Crawford has a good 2 weeks, then you really start saying he might have built some value back up by the trade deadline. Okay, Jesse's other question was, will the Clips let Blake be a point forward when he returns? I don't think it's a matter of letting. I think it's a matter of needing. Raymond Felton is a real point guard, but he's not a pass-first point guard or a distributor by any means. Austin Rivers is not a point guard. So the Clippers have like half a point guard on their roster, or maybe one point guard. Felton's a real point guard. So you got one point guard on your roster. Austin Rivers, as far as I'm concerned, is not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. He shouldn't be playing point guard except for in emergencies. And I get Chris Paul is out. Austin Rivers is a fine third string point guard to help over from that shooting guard position. But in my mind, he's not a point guard, and so Blake is the guy who's going to be running the show. I don't think anyone would really challenge the assertion, as well as Austin has played in the last couple of months, I don't think anyone would really challenge the assertion that Blake Griffin is a better passer, creator, distributor than Austin Rivers is. I think you're more likely to find DeAndre Jordan for a diving dunk or a shooter in the corner with a 4-5 pick and roll with Blake and DJ than a 1-5 pick and roll with Austin and DJ. That's just not Austin's game. And that's part of the reason why I think Austin is so much better on the wing when he's playing the 2 or 3 than when he's forced into that point guard role where he has to be a little more disciplined and worry about everyone else. Because he's not great at it, but he's really good at scoring for himself. And I think he's actually probably better at getting assists when he's playing off the ball and getting it kicked to him on the weak side and he's driving and scoring or driving and kicking than when he's playing on the ball and he's running a pick and roll and going through his reads, looking for the roll man, looking for a guy curling around the top, looking for a guy in the far corner. He doesn't hit those guys very well. But when he's just making a play on the wing, then he can find guys. It's actually interesting. He's only playing point guard 10% of the time this year, which is by far his lowest in his time with the Clippers. In his 3 years, 10% of the time at point guard this year is by far the lowest. And his assist ratio, his assist percentage, the percentage of his possessions that end in him getting an assist, is actually up a decent, you know, it's a decent increase from the last 2 years. So he's playing less point guard, but getting more assists. That's pretty special, I think. I think that's a good indicator of what he brings on the wing that he doesn't bring at point guard. And then I'll take one last question. Benton Bajoric, I think I pronounced that right. Benton Bajoric. He asks, is Luke the most underrated player on the team? Well, actually, I think it's still Austin Rivers. I think there are so many guys, even in the national media, who would say that Austin Rivers is a product of nepotism, that he's not that good, that he's a bust, blah, blah, blah. Because it's almost like nepotism is working against him now. People see him and just assume because he's the coach's son, he's not good at basketball. Well, the news is in, if you watch the games, he's very good at basketball. I think Luke might be the most under the radar. You know, Austin gets a lot of negative attention. Luke doesn't get a lot of attention at all. But I do think that among people who watch the league, people who are paying attention, I think Luke, maybe not last year as much because it was his first year with the Clippers, but this year, Luke, I think, is getting some respect as an elite defender. There was Josh Eberle. I don't know if you guys follow Josh Eberle on Twitter, but he worked with a couple other writers. They compiled defensive statistics and then worked that in with their own rankings as an eye test to rank perimeter defenders. And among wings, Luke was actually second in the NBA behind Thabo Sefolosha. So I think that's pretty indicative that, you know, those guys respect him. The metrics show it. So, yeah, I think people might not totally appreciate what Luke does. And I think definitely the casual fan doesn't know who he is. But among the NBA media, I think there is sort of a quiet respect for Luke, at least on the defensive end, even if people don't quite appreciate how far he's come offensively. Whereas Austin, it's not just that Austin isn't getting noticed, it's that he's getting significant backlash from people who apparently haven't realized yet that he's good. Okay, so the Clippers are facing off against Philadelphia tonight. That game is at 4 o'clock Pacific time, I believe. It's the third game of their 5-game road trip, but it's really like a little 3-game road trip because I've got these 3 days off. So I think we're going to call it an episode now, end this one on the early end. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, with a new episode of Locked On Clippers. We will look at this Philadelphia game tonight. We'll look at how Blake fits in. We'll look at how Austin and Felton are handling the point guard duties with Blake playing as sort of a point forward. Do the Clippers still need help at point guard in the next month and a half to 2 months with Chris Paul out? And then, of course, we got to get into this Warriors game that's coming up on Saturday, because that's a big game. It's a big matchup psychologically for the Clippers. As much as anything, it would be huge for them to just see a W in the, you know, put one in the win column against the Warriors. It's been a long time, and it's definitely in their heads. I don't think anyone could deny that it's in their heads that they've lost to the Warriors so much in the last few years. So, yeah, we've got 3 episodes, actually, to get into that. That's a long time. So we might get into some hypothetical trade talk in those 3 episodes. We'll focus on the Philadelphia game. We'll talk a lot about the Warriors game. There's anything you specifically want to hear about, something that might not be time related, you know, like a lot of stuff that we talk about is time sensitive. The game last night, what the rotation looks like today, who the Clippers are playing tomorrow. But this is a chance to talk about something that's not time sensitive, to just talk in general about the club, about the season, or this core's arc over the last half decade. So hit me up on Twitter at Lucas J. Han. You can email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. I'm happy to hear from you, happy to hear what you guys want to talk about, and then hopefully we'll have some good shows this week with the Clippers having 3 off days in a row. All right, guys, this is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.
A lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.